Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And, well, hey, it's, you know, it might be a long weekend for some people. A little bit of relaxation here on the first summer holiday weekend of the year, but not for us. Now, we've got the garage open bright and early here at Frat House Sports' Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Frat House might come into you. Oh, hey, big day in racing coming up here. You're going to hear a lot of those air guns. This afternoon, you know, we're going to kick it off almost right away at just a little bit past 12 noon with just a little event called the Indianapolis 500. So we'll start there and then, you know, we'll kind of meander our way down to, I guess, out to Charlotte. And we'll get into the Coca-Cola 600 there at NASCAR. Weird because it's been a couple of weeks since we've had a program. We had the All-Star race last week. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But it just, you know, you miss a week and it just feels like it's been a long, long time. So appreciate everybody that's jumping in here with us early this morning as we've got the coffee going. And if everybody else brings the donuts, that'd be just terrific.
The donuts are there.
The donuts are here. I understand. That's awesome. God knows we need the donuts, I think, this morning. Welcome in, Brandon, and I think we've got Sidekick as well. You there, Sidekick?
Yes, I am. Okay. I'm on. Personally.
Yeah, of course you are. so we're going to
get some facts and come back and see me.
We'll try. I don't
know.
Donuts
are here, Mike. Go get the donuts.
Thank you very much. I think I might just do that. I think I'll put myself on mute and go get a donut. You know, we're going to try to get through this this morning. It's been a little kind of a hectic couple of days here.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, you just keep dropping the drops on me. That'll be good.
It's going to be one of them mornings.
Yep, thank you. I appreciate it. You'll help me get through this. But, you know, no, we're going to talk a little bit about Dover from 2 weeks ago because, like I said, we've missed a couple of weeks here. We had last week off because of the All-Star race. But Dover was the last big race, Monster Mile, 2 weeks ago. Then we had the All-Star race last week. Like I said, we'll chit-chat about that a little bit. Interesting top five lineup out of Dover 2 weeks ago. Very interesting top five. I got to tell you, I was a little bit surprised at the number of wrecks and cautions and what have you that we saw at Dover. It seemed a little bit unusual. But then again, like I said, we had that All-Star race last week and a lot of controversy coming out of that is nobody seemed to know what the hell was going on. And then, of course, like I said, we've got what? Today is the longest race. Is that right? It's the Coca-Cola 600 is the longest race on the NASCAR circuit. Do I have that correct?
Yeah.
Yes, you would. This would be a snooze fest. You can take a nap, watch the first 50 laps or so, take a nap, wake up, and catch the rest.
Except it's starting at 6 o'clock in the evening, so, you know, you take a nap.
tonight could be one of those annoying kind of races. Lots of rain in the forecast.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah.
Great.
Rain likely before 9 p.m., then showers after 9 p.m., mostly cloudy. Precipitation chance is 90%. I think this is that tropical storm that's coming to give us a bunch of stuff on Monday.
Yep, you're right.
So that's what they're getting So we may not have a Coca-Cola 600 till tomorrow.
Or at least perhaps maybe a shortened one, huh? Because
let's discuss the rules, shall we?
Go ahead.
For those that don't know at home, you know, we have to get half the race in. If we get half the race in, you know, then, you know, they can call the race and, you know, it'll just be one of those rain-shortened races that, quite honestly, I don't think we've seen in a while.
No, we haven't had one this year.
You know,
there hasn't been one this year, right?
Right. What was it, two years ago, 3 years ago maybe? We had a rash of them in the spring
yep.
races. Remember, mm-hmm. it seemed like every week it was rain shortened or it was rained out and moved.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlotte's got lights, so they can do a night race. So that won't be an issue. The question will be if they get at least halfway through the race, will they call the race? Yeah. And just, you know, call it a day. You know, it won't be the longest race of the season.
Right.
If they don't get there, obviously, you know, and they call it and they say, hey, you know what, it's not going to be conducive for racing tonight. You know, they'll pick it up, you know, either tomorrow or Tuesday, depending on weather and stuff. So.
Yeah. Now, I mean, tomorrow is a national holiday, so I guess one could think, you know, what the heck? Just hold it off and do it then, right? I mean, I guess that kind of messes a little bit, though, with the upcoming schedule then a little bit, doesn't it?
No, it's not like they haven't done it before, and they usually try to get it in the following day. What depends is what the forecast looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I do remember an instance where, and I can't remember what race it was, they didn't actually race until Tuesday.
Yeah, I remember that too.
You know, it started raining during the race. They couldn't get the race in, and the whole next day, all it did was rain. So there was obviously no chance to get the race in. They raced on a Tuesday, turned around, and had to race. Was it a Saturday?
I do recall
what you're talking about. It was about 4 years ago. That was about four years ago, I think. Four or five years ago.
Ridiculous shortened. You know, it was almost like the NFL with, you know, playing the Monday night game and then turning around and playing a Thursday or
Thursday.
You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah. So, you know, and people were like, oh my God, how are they going to get the cars? Well, there's other haulers and there's other cars for different tracks. You know, the other cars for the other track are probably already on their way to the track.
And I'm just looking at the schedule, and next week is Pocono. So, I mean, it's not like
that's Sunday race. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like they have to travel across the country or something. So, you know, Monday, I mean, if in fact it were to get completely washed out, albeit it doesn't sound like that would be the case, because I think, Brandon, what did you say? After 9, right? Now, the green flag on this, I think, is like 6:15.
They're saying there could be showers before that. The heavy rain's coming at 9. Mm. They're going to have showers before that, so it's, you know, we'll have to just wait and see.
Ugh. Yeah, I was really looking forward to it, too. You know, I certainly hope that we can get it in. And I hope it's the whole thing.
That's what she said.
Oh, Lord Almighty. you know, you're... you're
I'm in a mood
too,
this morning.
I was gonna say
I'm
you're
in a mood this morning.
You're just too quick for me on a Sunday morning. For gosh sakes, I'm gonna tell you.
Well, I've already put in a whole can of
Sunoco race fuel.
I am ready to go.
Well, I've been rocking and rolling here since 8:30 this morning, but you know, it's still I'm still a little slow on the uptake. All right. Well, I guess we're going to see how that plays out. Now, you know, all things are clear in Indianapolis. So it looks like we're going to be good there today. I think we've got actually pretty nice weather out west of us for the Indy 500. And we got a green flag on that one. Let me just check. I think that was at 12:15. Yep, 12:17 for that one. Coverage on ABC. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and didn't I hear they sold out this year?
Wow. Is that right? Holy smokes.
That's what, have you guys heard that at all?
I have not.
I heard somebody talking about it yesterday saying that they actually, you know, they sold out at Indy, sold out the Indy.
Wow.
Which they haven't done since, what, late 80s, early 90s?
That place is that's a monster, that thing.
You know, because I remember
like
as a kid.
That.
You know, I remember as a kid always sitting down, you know, Memorial Day weekend, we always sat down. We watched, my dad and I, we watched the Indy, and then I watched the, you know, the NASCAR race, you know, and that. And, you know, I remember telling my dad, I'm like, Dad, man, we should go to the Indy one year. It'd be so awesome. And he was like, yeah, he was telling me, yeah, there's like a 2-year wait list to get tickets, you know, to, you know, it was that, you know, it was that popular back then. And then
well,
I
now,
heard
was that,
you know, in recent
was that when,
years, it hasn't sold
was that,
out.
Was that when you were living in St. Louis?
No, that was here in Philly.
Oh, okay.
We were up here because it was, yeah, we moved up here in 1980 when the Phillies won the the World Series.
Right, okay.
The Eagles went to the Super Bowl against the Raiders.
Right.
And that. So it was, you know, this is like when I was a teenager. So, yeah, it was probably, yeah, it was late 80s.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, from St. Louis, that's not that bad a trek. You know,
it's
you and I did it. You and I did it.
It's not that bad from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost about a halfway point. I think it's a shade longer from Philly than it is from St. Louis. But yeah, we went to Indy. We went to the track. We drove around the 2-mile track.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
That because, you know, we pulled an audible, if I remember correctly. We
yes.
were just driving and we're like, hey, why don't we?
Yeah, well,
right here. Why don't we go ride why don't we go by the track?
Well, the whole damn trip was inaudible, my friend. If you remember, the whole I mean, I kept finding things that we could stop at.
Yeah, like we went to Louisville and went to Churchill
that
Downs
was
and
awesome.
The Louisville Slugger Museum. That wasn't even on our itinerary when we left. We stopped at the rest stop. We stopped at the rest stop.
I love Louisville.
Yeah. Yeah, we picked up a pamphlet, and I'm like, oh, really? That's
yeah, exactly.
Right on we're going right through Louisville on the way back. Why don't we stop?
Exactly.
showed up, what, 5 hours late to check into our hotel?
That's what made that trip so awesome, was it was just so spontaneous. It was terrific. But, yeah, going out there to any – and, you know, what was crazy was being on the ground and seeing the size of that place. You know, I remember you driving up the one side of it, and it just seemed like it would last forever.
Ever.
I know. I mean, I couldn't get over how big the place is. That's why I'm wondering, saying it's sold out, what is the capacity there at Indianapolis?
I heard it was, at one point, it was in the 300,000 or 400,000 range.
My God, to spell that out. Holy smokes. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, interesting, we got some interesting side stories, kind of side stories, for the Indy today. Hinchcliffe has got the pole. Now, some of you might remember, Hinchcliffe, wasn't he the one that was in that massive wreck where he damn near died right before the Indy last year?
Yes, I think you are correct. He died. It was a practice crash. He almost
The freaking car was upside down. Yeah, it was upside down. If you remember? And he never. He never made the race. I don't believe.
No.
So, you got Hinchcliffe on the pole, which is an interesting. That right there alone is kind of a interesting side story. One of the other interesting kind of sidebar stories. Castroneves, if he were to win today, Castroneves would be one of only three others. I think it's three others that have won Indy 4 times.
Wow.
So who are the others? AJ Foyt, Al Unser Sr. and Rick Mears have won it 4 times. Castroneves right now has 3 wins at Indy. And he is starting 9th today. So a couple of interesting little side stories to Indy today.
that list is pretty impressive because I believe Castroneves still runs for Penske, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Al Unser Sr. and Rick Mears were also Penske drivers. Wow. So A.J. Foyt's the only non-Penske driver on that four-time win list. Rick Mears is actually heavily still involved as like a prep operations for Penske Racing now. So him and Al Unser Sr. were both running for Penske a lot back in the day when they won.
But, you know, the other thing that I kind of find a little bit interesting about it is that Mears did it in 1991. Now, that was the last time. So it's been quite a while since we've had a four-time winner here at Indy. Both Foyt and Unser, they were kind of close in time frame. If I'm not mistaken, I think they kind of ran – they were in the same generation, weren't they?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
So Mears probably crossed over a little too into their generation.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Mears probably raced against Al Sr. and Al Jr. at different points in his career.
Yeah, so it's been a while. 1991 was when Rick Mears won his fourth at Indy. So with that one, like I said, Indy 500 comes up first. Green flag on that at 12:17, and ABC will be covering that. So you go right from that, and then hopefully we get in a Coca-Cola 600. Like I said, I think the green flag on that is like around 6:15, 6:30. Obviously, weather permitting. Go ahead, Sidekick, did you have something?
Well, I was going to say the seating capacity is 235,000.
Is that all?
And this is with this being the 100th anniversary of the 500, this is the first, it did sell out, and it's the first time in decades.
Wow.
I'm trying to find when the last time it sold out.
I wonder what they attribute that to.
I think IndyCar's coming back, you know, from IndyCar racing in general took a beating when there was two different organizations and fighting over two different kinds of rules, two different kinds of cars. It really wasn't enough cars to support either series. So once they finally came back together now, it's taken a few years, but now I think it's finally starting to come back a little.
Yep. Sunday's crowd will be the biggest since Jacques Villeneuve's victory in 1985. Villeneuve, the last year before the split between IMS-owned IRL and CART.
What year? I'm sorry. What year?
1995.
Wow, I didn't realize Villeneuve has been running that long.
So, and the crowd that day was estimated between 400,000 and 450,000.
Yeah, I know they used to have that. I mean, the seating capacity may be 235, but they get 400,000 people in there.
Well, that's the number of permanent seats, I guess.
They have camping and, you know, other avenues.
Like almost on demand, you know, where they put up grandstands just
for.
I mean,
what do you got? You got 100,000+ people standing? Seriously? Because you're saying
They probably have some, like Sidekick said, temporary seating, or they might sit in the infield, you know, like at their campsite on the camper. A lot of them sit on the roofs of their camper.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I know that I clearly remember them having crowds 400,000. You know, whether or not they have that seating, clearly they have other ways of getting people in. I'm curious to see what the number will be today. I mean, if they sold out all the seats, there's 235 right there.
Yeah.
You got to figure you're going to get at least an extra 100 the other way. There'll probably be at least 300,000 there, maybe four.
Oh, look.
Maybe the 100th anniversary. The race.
Oh, well, that would explain it. That's why they sold it out.
Yeah.
All right. There it is. Yeah. Dummy me. Liz has got it written up in our chat room. 100th running. So everybody wants to be there for history. Yeah. Oh, duh. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. I got to be honest. When I was looking up the stats for the track, I didn't realize that the track opened August 12th in 1909.
Well, I mean, I've seen some old pictures.
I mean, that,
there are some really neat old.
That literally, that predates them running on the sand in Daytona.
Yep.
Oh, immensely.
You know what I mean? By a good, 40 years?
40 years.
40, 50
40
years.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, wow. I didn't, I had forgotten.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Well, okay. Well, all right. So we figured that one out. We figured out the mystery there. It's 100 years. Yeah. We're good. We make good hosts. We know exactly what's going on.
It's Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's a holiday weekend. The first day was yesterday. Everybody's a little slow in recovery mode, you know?
Yeah, don't I know it.
Here we go.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. This is the 100th running of the Indy 500.
Oh, wow.
Here we go.
Sidekick's having
off
fun.
The rails.
Sidekick's having fun with the soundboard today. You keep going, Burr.
I was gonna say, it's like Dover. We're running around the track with the whole front clip missing. There's just a motor.
Barely a motor. Hey, listen, you brought up Dover, so let's check into.
There we go. We're getting back on track. I did that.
Yeah, you segued perfectly. Let's check in with Dover. Monster Mile 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it feels like it was forever ago. Kenseth, no longer snake. No longer snake butt. There's no snake butt anymore. You know what I found interesting though. When you take a look at the top five finishing, get this for the top five. All right, now you had Kansas up there, of course. There's JGR again. All right. Oh, forget that. Who comes in second? Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Casey Kane, Kurt Busch. Now, you got some drivers in there that we've kind of been talking about on the precipice. You know, all of a sudden, Larson's been running really, really well. I've seen an awful lot of hype about Larson in the past, I'd say, 10 days or so. And a lot leading into Charlotte, which is interesting. Elliott, of course, we've been talking about now all season long. Somebody that, Brandon, you've kind of maligned a little bit. Casey Kane, seemingly running a bit stronger recently. Still not being able to get close enough. I mean, but we're seeing a few more top fives out of Casey Kane. And then Kurt Busch, who does not have a win yet, but we were talking about that one as well. Isn't it interesting, the change of seasons? The change of from last season to this season. Kurt Busch can't seem to buy one. But an interesting top five when you take a look at it. Any thoughts on it?
Well, I don't know from a television perspective what the race was like. I know for me, I could not sit down the last, 20 laps or so when Kyle was actually leading the race, Kyle Larson, and then Kenseth passed him, but I mean, it was so electric there. Everybody was standing up. Everybody was cheering. I want to say it's been one of the best races I've been to.
Wow.
I was, and we were talking, I was on Messenger with you, because, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to be able to witness Kyle Larson's first win,
Right.
Oh, come on, Kyle, come on. And then, obviously, Matt Kenseth, A, my hatred for him, and B, the fact that he, passed Larson and he couldn't catch him. But, I don't know if I necessarily would have felt the same way sitting at home watching the race. You know what I mean?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, too. I mean,
it was amazing being there.
I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it like 2 weeks ago we were actually saying, well, it's the Monster Mile and all, but it's Dover, and Dover can be a long race, and it can get a little boring. You're kind of reciting almost the exact opposite of what we were actually kind of stereotypically thinking about Dover.
There is the lull in it. You know what I mean? Like, just like every race, you know, you watch the beginning and you're watching the race, and occasionally there will be periods in between where, you know, you might have a wreck or something, you know, something goes on. But, you know, for the most part, people are just kind of, you know, feeling their way through the race. You'll have a couple people that, you know, are trying to, you know, gain positions, and you're trying to walk your driver, you know, and then, you know, towards the end, the race always kind of picks up.
Right.
And that, you know, and it, Dover was like that. We watched the beginning. There was a couple wrecks. We got showered in, you know, paint chips from when Austin Dillon, we were sitting right where Austin Dillon went into the wall.
It wow.
Scooting around. And when he came scooting, now we couldn't even see the car because of the banking. We were the fourth row from the fence. So we couldn't, you know, you couldn't even see the cars coming around that corner.
Yep.
But he came up in the corner, hit that wall, and we got showered in paint chips from the safer barrier.
Wow.
That's how close we were.
Holy
and I
shit.
Actually posted some pictures of the chips up. So later, you know, so it kind of lulled down. I was, you know, we had a couple friends and, you know, I was, you know, messaging everybody. So we wound up, Jen and I were going to work our way down to the other corner to the friends that we went down to the track with. But then I was messaging NASCAR John, who was at the race.
Right.
And he was right at the start finish line.
Right.
So we wound up hanging out with John and, you know, and watched the rest of the race from John's vantage point because we were right there on the start finish line. He had amazing seats. So we wound up just staying there and not catching up with our, you know, with the other folks. And we, you know, we watched the second half of the race from his seats, you know, and like I said, you know, that's, you know, the tail end of that race. We were all up on our, you know, all up on our feet. We're cheering, we're rooting, you know, you got your Kane fans and you had your Toyota fans and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was sitting near a group of Toyota fans. I kept cussing at them.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're not
like, would you knock it off? You're going
to
get,
you're not saying anything good. You're not saying anything good to those guys. I know you.
Yeah, oh yeah. Cause they're cheering it. You know, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Whoop, dump button. You know what, Kenseth? And you know, I'm just, you know,
yeah, you know, since you were there, you know, in person, if I'm not mistaken, one of the and again, I, you know, forgive me, I'm trying to recollect back 2 weeks ago, and it feels like it was forever ago. It feels like it was 4 hours or four weeks ago. I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm not mistaken, talk to me about the attendance. If I'm correct, it didn't look great on television.
No, it did not. It did not. Like the section we were sitting in. Now obviously they're bad seats, and basically the only reason we got them was because we have friends that are season ticket holders, and there was a mix up with the tickets, so Dover
right.
gave them two free tickets as a, you know, we're sorry for, you know, for the poor service or whatever it was. But they were horrible seats because, you know, when you're at Dover, you don't want to sit anywhere close to the fence because you can't see anything. You know,
right.
It's like Richmond. You want to be high up. You want to be able to, you know, it's fun to be down low and experience the cars coming by and, you know, all that stuff. But it's better at another track like Pocono or something where you can see the cars coming by.
And you point out the banking there is just, you don't realize it when you see it on TV.
Yeah, no.
But when you're there in person, that was the thing that blew me away the one time that I was at Dover was, you know, I was up real, real high. And you're looking down, those freaking cars are running sideways. I mean, that's some ridiculous banking on the curves.
Oh, yeah. And it's like a roller coaster. You watch them. You know, it's, you know, you come out of the corner and, you know, you come up and then you dive down into the corner and you come up and you dive down. You know, or even, I guess not so much like a road, maybe more like a Ferris wheel. You know, you're riding the horse on the Ferris wheel and the horse goes up and down and up and down. And it's very rhythmic.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Dover is. You know, you don't really, you know, quite see it. But when you actually can watch the whole, you know, see the whole track and watch the cars, it's like that Ferris wheel where you're going up and down and up and down. And, you know, and it's just, it's what, 400 laps, I think? Yeah, up and down, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
That's why we say, you know, it's kind of like a boring race because it's, yep. You know, because that's how, you know, it's just that up and down. And it's not like, you know, like a Daytona or a longer
yeah.
track where, you know, where the guys get a little bit spread out and you get some packs going and different things. Or say a Bristol where, you know, Bristol, they're just, you know, you're just beating and banging off of each other, you know. They're just basically running 2 to 3 wide and, you know, door to door and, you know, they just keep banging, you know.
Well, so. And like yourself, and you know, mind you, I've only been to 2 tracks, you know, Dover and Pocono, but of those 2, I don't know, I prefer Pocono. You can see everything.
See, there's it's funny about that because there's some people that hate Pocono because
I like it
because you can't see the whole track. Yeah, I think there used to be some billboards in the back that used to cover up part of the track and stuff. I love Pocono. I didn't see why people were knocking Pocono. I loved it.
Yeah. I loved it too.
I'd like it a little bit better than Dover only because of that, like I was saying, you know, that
yep.
that lulling kind of, you know, up and down, you know, it's 400 laps. You're like, what lap are we on already?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of thing. Whereas, you know, the, you know, Pocono, it's, you know, it's half the number of laps. Same distance, but it's, you know, it's a bigger track, so there's less laps.
Oh,
it's not like you're on lap 275,000 of 500,000. Like, oh, my, for the love of, when is this race ever going to be over?
It is enormous. It's an enormous track. That was the thing that I took away from it. Of course, we're going to be talking a lot about Pocono next week because that's where we'll be. But I love the triangle configuration. And it's flat. It's a very flat race. But I enjoy it. But, okay, now, but you're saying, you know, Fred House, Mike, you're right. Attendance was not terrific there, huh?
No, it didn't. It looked like a lot of empty seats.
Yep.
I guess back to where we were talking. Section we were in, people were actually, so the first 6 or 7 rows, there was nobody sitting there. It was completely empty.
Mm-hmm.
We roll up, we go to sit in our seats, and when out of 30 seats in a row, 6 to 7 rows of empty seats, there's 2 people, and they're actually sitting in our seats out of that whole section.
Oh, Jesus, God.
In our seats. You know? And they were actually the seats next to us, but they were just sitting on the end. Yeah, so it, like I said, it was so empty. So we just moved. We just said, "Oh, we'll just sit down the row ahead of you, and if the section fills up, we'll adjust accordingly." But nobody ever showed up, and we wound up leaving.
Yeah, exactly. Because you said you ended up with NASCAR John at the
because he had plenty of seats where he was at. Yeah, you know, we just walked up into his section, and you know, he had, you know, probably about a quarter of a row free next to him before the next group of people.
Wow.
So we just went up and, you know, sat with NASCAR John.
You know, that's crazy because, you know, we just got done talking about the Indy 500 and, you know, here you are, 250, maybe 350,000 people showing up today. And obviously, you know, we're just mentioning it's kind of a anniversary, historical, you know, sort of thing, you know, 100 years. I mean, yeah, that's. But boy, oh boy, you got IndyCar pulling in, you know, more than 250,000 people for one event, and you know, NASCAR stock car racing can't seem to hold its own. I don't know. It's bizarre. It's really strange. I mean. Obviously, too, the Indy schedule is shorter, is it not? There's fewer events, right?
Yes, there are less Indy races than NASCAR.
Right. So, I guess by virtue of that, too, there's something to be said for it. But I don't know. I like IndyCar, but if I'm going to watch anything, I would prefer to watch the stock cars versus. you know, Indy's kind of fun, but it's a novelty kind of racing to me. You know, if you're going to do something consistently, it would be stock car racing. But
that's what I was going to say. That's basically the only, the only Indy car race we would watch. Yeah, it was, you watch
the
500.
Well, yeah, we watch probably more than that. We watch more than that here. We're not catching all of them, but we watch quite a few of them, I think, as they come down the line. All right, anyhow, one of the things I want to get into, and you're, talking about how you were standing on your feet, for the last, 20 laps or more. And of course, we're kind of joking about the fact that, is Dover a little bit boring or not? I was still a little taken back. I'm going to be honest with you. I always have to remind everybody, I still kind of feel like the new kid on the block when it comes to racing, because I've only been probably following it for about 5 years or a little bit more than that. But Dover did not strike me as the type of place where we see a lot of wrecks and cautions and what have you. But boy, oh boy, we saw an awful lot of them 2 weeks ago. There were an awful lot of wrecks last. Am I correct in that assessment? Dover is not exactly known for that.
I think it's kind of a hit or miss kind of thing. It is a short track, so there is not a whole lot of room to go. And depending on where your wreck happens on the track, you get piled up. It's one of those, almost what they call self-cleaning, because basically everything comes down to the center, down to the bottom.
Right.
So if something happens up high and you're in traffic, it's going to come down. And we saw it with Jimmy Johnson. It, broke something in his transmission or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, on the restart. And it piled up a whole ton of people because he was,
that's right.
Second. At the time,
that's
he was
right.
on the front row. He was second. And
it's
he
just
didn't
dropping,
go and,
dropping,
man.
Dropping, dropping, dropping. Right, exactly. No, that
everybody
was near,
just.
That was near
correct.
The end of the race. That was near the end
that's
of the race.
What, yep. Yeah, I think that's what set up Kyle Larson in the lead was that
yep.
wreck.
Yeah. I mean, it was just.
Carl was leading up to that point, wasn't it? Yeah, because it was Carl and it was trying to remember back 2 weeks ago. It was Carl and Jimmy on the front row, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you listen. I'll believe you. Like you said, I'm trying to recollect myself. I mean, I'm just looking at who led laps. I'm looking at lap leaders. Harvick led the most laps at 117. Larson at 85, 49 for Brad Keselowski, 48 for Kenseth. So those are your lap leaders, 27 for Edwards, Carl Edwards at 27. So those, I'm trying to remember myself. I honestly don't recall, but 12 cautions. We had 12 cautions. Which accounted for about 65 of the 400 laps. And I'm just looking through the official report. How many were wrecks? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There were 6 wrecks in this race. 6. That seems high to me for Dover. I don't know. Brandon, you've been to Dover many, many times. Is that high?
No, that sounds about average.
Is that right?
I wouldn't call it excessive. Sometimes you get less, but, it's about right. Dover's one of those tracks that can bite you in a hurry if you're not, not just right. So.
All right. Well, I don't know.
You're going awful fast around a really short track.
It seemed like a lot to me, but anyhow.
Maybe a little more. I'm not sure what the average is, but, maybe.
I'm looking at Harvick's numbers. I really thought Sidekick, you were there on the scene. I really thought Harvick had this race locked up.
It was a tale of two races.
Yeah, it was. You're absolutely right.
I mean, because we were talking about it pre-race, about is this going to be another JGR show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I said, no, I don't think this is. I think you're gonna, we're gonna see some, some other dominance, and we did early on. We saw Kevin Harvick just running away from the field, and then he got stuck back in some traffic, and boom, all of a sudden there's all JGR guys. And then Carl Edwards had, it was the Carl Edwards show there for a while.
Yep.
Up until probably about that Jimmy Johnson wreck, I want to say. And then we saw Kyle Larson out there running for a while. Kenseth passed him. Truex was out for a little while, if I remember correctly. He was leading for a little bit.
47.
Just the racing between Kyle and Matt, the last few laps with Kyle trying to, catch him back up, it was phenomenal. JGR won another damn race.
The bitterness.
I'm all right with it. It's okay with me.
I think that the checker flag flew, and I immediately posted on Facebook, I hate Toyota.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. What was funny was the number of people who didn't understand your comment and thought that you were actually talking about, had no clue that you were actually talking about, racing. They thought you were talking about Toyotas. Kyle Larson, we kind of talked a little bit about Larson. We talked about Larson a couple of weeks ago, and what was interesting was we talked about Larson from the respect that, kind of in a maligning sort of way, if I recall correctly, we kind of talked about it and said, well, what the hell's happened to Larson? I mean, Larson was really, running well last year, and boy, oh boy, he's been a ghost this year. He's disappeared. Well, in the past couple of races, it seems, he's really kind of started to come around a little bit. And now it's interesting because you kind of see the media attention shifting. You see a little bit more of an emphasis on, hey, it's just a matter of time before this kid gets his first win. Accurate or not accurate? Which Larson are we seeing? What's going on here? Any ideas, guys?
I have a little insight for you.
Yep.
The surge started at a time when the crew chief is now working on cars he had a hand in designing. In other words, the Chip Ganassi team was building some new cars, and it took them a while to get them to the track. And these first last couple of races that have shown a resurgence of Kyle Larson are cars that the crew chief helped design and build, and they're working pretty well for him. So
nice.
That is, the genesis of Kyle Larson's apparent resurgence.
Well, that's a very, very interesting I want to say juxtapositioning of possibilities there. Does it indicate, because we've talked, and I think Brandon, you've kind of brought it up this year in particular, the struggles that the Ganassi team has had. I mean, are we seeing this whole team turning around?
Possibly. I mean, it's going to take time. I mean, if they have to build, I think they went from getting cars from somebody to now building a house. So, you got two teams. You got to get, you got to get them all built for everybody. So it might take a bit of time. You might see them start coming on pretty stronger by the end of the year, maybe next year make a good run. It's hard to say, when you're this early in the season, but that's not a team that's really, ramped up to go full bore, I wouldn't think, and, just crank out car after car after car. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, It's a good sign. It's a good sign of things to come. I think you'll see, you know, hopefully you'll see continued improvement. Hopefully you'll see Larson grab that first win, you know. And maybe Jamie McMurray will start to run better too. You never know.
Well, it's interesting because they're starting together today. McMurray is 23rd. 24th is Kyle Larson. Not exactly the best qualifying position to be in. At Charlotte, as the statistics would indicate, you know, heavy favorite towards the top 15. If you can get a top 15 spot, you're a heavy favorite to win Charlotte. So interesting. I guess we'll have to see how it plays out. It funny comment. I would love to hear why. Our loyal listener Liz in our chat room. I hope Larson never wins. What the hell's the hate for Larson there, Liz? I don't get it.
What? Come on now.
I mean, listen, she's got never capitalized. She's shouting never.
Wow. I wonder if she was a Juan Pablo Montoya fan.
Oh, no. I don't know. Listen, he's running today, right? He'd be running in Indy, right? So
yeah.
You know, is he running? Actually, I was looking at the qualifying list. I don't remember seeing. He's got to be on there. Yes, he is. Okay, he's starting 17th.
Yeah,
Montoya is coming 17th. Actually, Montoya had a great season last year. In NASCAR. So, I think he was top three. I think he came in top three overall for the entire season. So
wasn't he the champion? I thought.
Was he the champion last year?
Yeah, I believe he is. I believe he is the defending IndyCar.
Oh, okay.
I got it. Liz is like not on your life.
What is the deal,
I'm asking her now. I gotta ask her why to hate. There's a story here.
Yeah,
there's
really,
gotta be a story here.
Really, I mean, how do you hate on Larson? There's really nothing to hate about the kid. Honest to God, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying I love him.
Okay. Oh, yeah. She says just don't like him.
Okay, so pulling a Cindy Crosby. She's pulling a Cindy Crosby on us. I just don't like him. That is hysterical. Well, I mean, it's funny.
Well, you know, when we talk about race fit, you know, there's multiple reasons why somebody, you know, well, you know, quote unquote, hate a driver. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily the driver as it is like the sponsors or the team. You know, like I hate JGR or I hate Toyota or, you know what I mean? You know, Kyle Busch.
I kind of like
Kyle Busch.
I hate Penske. You know? I can't stand Penske.
You hate Penske. And I've got to send you this article that was posted up in our group, the other group that you and I belong to, that talks about Logano and embracing the villain and the hate.
Oh.
And it's actually pretty good article, you know, and it kind of explains some things. So I'm going to send it over to you for you to,
all right.
to give a read and I want to see what your thoughts are on it. It's not like a justifying Joey Logano kind of piece, you know what I mean? But it's he's kind of realized that people don't like him, and he's embracing that now, and he's playing to it.
Yeah, Keselowski did a little bit of that a couple of years ago. It seems to me as well. Keselowski did. I'm trying to think of some others that have kind of done that as well. But it's interesting you're talking about, you know. And Liz, too, herself, I just don't like him. I just don't like him. Well, you know, I think all of us can probably appreciate that. We all have a couple of guys like that on the circuit that we can't explain it. You know, Ryan Newman fits that description for me perfectly. I can't stand that troll, honest to God. I can't stand the look of him. I just want to, you know, I want to go. I want to punch him. I want to punch him right in the mouth. Honest to God, every time I freaking see him, you know, And I don't know what it is about the guy. I mean, I would love to get out on a track with him and just bump him into a wall.
So are we having another counseling session, Mike? Do you want to lay down on the couch? Like you did last 2 weeks ago? We talked, you know, like extensively talked about Joey Logano and Mike Kane for Joey Logano.
Yeah, exactly. we need to get
lay
to the
down
room.
On the couch, Mike.
We need to get to the root of this. We need to get to the root of this, Fred. I was like, what is your problem? What is your problem with this? Oh, that's funny. That's very, very funny. Oh, well, no, all right. So I'll tell you what. Go ahead. So I can throw one at me that would fit that description for you. Somebody you just don't like. And there's no rhyme or reason for it.
Wow, that's ooh. I don't.
This is usually your department. You usually are the one calling the audibles. Calling it off.
Well, and I'm trying to because usually there's a story associated with the drivers that I'm, you know, that I don't like. I said this in the other group. I try not to be that fan where, I hope that guy wrecked. I'll never stop putting that store up, I'm sorry, Matt Kenseth is that driver for me.
Is that right?
I'd break out the voodoo doll.
Really?
On Matt Kenseth, yes. I mean, it, and I kind of, you know, I mean, I sit there and I joke and I, you know, I hope that guy, you know, I hope he hits a wall, blah, 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 yeah. But generally, like, I feel like I have serious, like, physical hatred for Matt Kenseth.
That is,
like,
see?
I would, you know, I would not feel bad if I saw him stretchered off the track.
Oh, my
and, God. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, really? You know, but at the same time, there's a story there. I guess the guy that I don't really like or, you know,
there's
really,
somebody worse. There's somebody worse.
Well,
than
no,
that?
No. I'm saying, you know, somebody like you were classifying where you don't really have a reason to not like them, but
right.
you don't like them would probably be Casey Kane.
Huh. Okay, that's interesting.
I would say because
see,
I don't
know. To me,
you're
pulling two of the most benign people. That's like Kyle Larson.
Well, and that's why I say a lot of the other drivers, I've got some sort of story behind why I don't like them. You know what I mean? So I have to really go kind of deep in the field to find one of these middle-tier guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because most of the top guys, there's a reason why I don't like them. Carl Edwards, I don't like. He's a whiny little baby.
Well,
you know,
Boyer, right? You're not a big fan of Clint Boyer, but going back to that from a couple years ago,
right? Goes back to MWR and you know, and Spingate and all the other stuff. So there's stories there. You know, like I said, I typically don't try to. Oh, I hate this driver or I hate that driver, and there's no reason why. And even, even Casey Kane, to some extent, the story I could put behind that one is I think he's kind of overrated.
Okay.
And,
right.
He's probably a mediocre, you know, he's a mediocre driver in top tier equipment. You know, he races for Hendrix, but yet he's, what does he do? He just rides around the track.
Hmm.
He doesn't win. He doesn't come in last, but he's just like, it's Casey. Yeah. Oh, he was funny in those commercials he was doing for Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, Farmers,
But, you know, other than that, you know, there's no real personality to Casey Kane. He doesn't, you know, there's no woo factor. There's not, you know, it's like he's Casey Kane. It's like, you know, a gray blob. Blah.
He does kind of seem to lack that, what you would call kind of intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while you'll see him, he'll get mad when somebody wrecks him. Yeah, and it reminds me of the, you know, It reminds me of the kid going through puberty when the voice changes. And he's like, you can't do that to me. Come on, dude. Really? I can't take you seriously. Your voice is breaking. You know, kind of, that's, you know, that's why I say, it, you know, if you want me to pick a driver where there's no real kind of story behind it, it would probably be Casey Kane.
Oh, that's crazy. That is so funny. Brandon, you got one?
Well, yeah, I'm kind of with you on Logano. I don't like Logano a little bit. Don't want to see him win. And I really personally do not like Jimmy Johnson. So, you know, I just don't like him. Like, there's something about him I don't like.
Well, he wins all the time. That's part of it.
He comes off thinking he's like, you know, some kind of god of NASCAR or something. I don't know. I can't take Jimmy Johnson. It used to be a little with Kyle, but Kyle's, since he got injured, you know, and then he came back, he's kind of softened on me a little. I'd have to go with, you know, Joey Logano, I can't stand. I can't stand him when they interview him. He's just, I don't know, there's something about that guy. I just want to smack him.
You want me to get going? You want me to get going? You want me to get going?
Brandon, why don't you come in and lay down on the couch there, Brandon?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about your hatred.
Sounds good. I've not liked Joey Logano since he came to Spring Cup.
Okay, that's why I was going to ask. Is there a story behind it, or is it just one of those, like Mike says, yeah, I don't know what it is about the kid. I just hate him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it is.
White bread. He always
has an excuse as to why something didn't go his way, or, you know, if something does go poorly for him, it's always somebody else's fault. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. and he always there. He could be talking about how he wrecked somebody, and he'll sit there with a smile on his face.
Yeah, exactly.
Goofy ass smile on his face.
Goofy ass. Funny? Exactly.
Yeah. like the teenager.
Yeah,
that just
yeah.
drives me nuts.
Word.
Yeah, he's got that stupid ass red cheeked grin on his face. You just want to knock it.
Yep.
Honest to God, I hear you. Listen. That's why, you know, to me, pesky, the pesky boys. I have difficulty differentiating the two, I'm going to be honest. I like
Keselowski a little bit. I'll be honest. I actually do root for him. I like Brad. I think he's one of those guys who gets a bad rap sometimes. I think he's a pretty decent driver overall.
I think he gets the rap he deserves. That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand either one of them. I just, it's a shame because if Pesky ever goes to different drivers, I'm afraid I'll never like anything coming out of Penske at all because of those two.
You should too, though. That's the home team, man. That guy who started in Reading, Pennsylvania, right up the road.
I know. And I'm telling you, I'm just, anyhow. All right, well. we had an all-star race last week, guys. I'm going to be perfectly honest. And Brandon, you know this. I didn't watch it. I think the all-star race is stupid, personally.
A lot of the drivers did, too.
I was just about to say, you know, you were pointing out to me, hey, you know what? You're not the only one that thinks they're stupid.
They interviewed Tony after he came out of the infield care center, and he was just borderline that dump button. Let's put it that way. He was very not happy with how the hell they're scoring this race.
If I had
dropped a dam in there earlier, he was pretty adamant.
If we hadn't gotten the show scheduled so late last night, I was actually thinking I got to go get the audio of Tony from the All-Star race. I wanted to get the audio so that we could have played it here today, but I didn't get a chance to do it. But because Tony was actually pretty funny with the whole thing. There aren't many All-Star events that I do enjoy in any sport. I think the best one, I'm going to be honest with you, I think the best one is probably Major League Baseball. I think the All-Star game in Major League Baseball is the best of all of them. But for the most part, I'm opposed to all-star exhibitions, period. So, you know, the all-star race comes up, and to me, it's a week off. I take a week off from NASCAR. What in the world, though, guys, happened with this race? Because the controversy that came out of it, and even NASCAR apparently admitted to being responsible for the fact that this thing was so screwed up. What did they do? Did they go and change the rules for this year or something, or what?
Well, something happened during the first segment, and a caution came out after some cars were a lap down, and I think they were expecting to get, like, a wave around like you can get in regular, but they apparently don't do the wave around part in the All-Star race, or they didn't for whatever reason. And it got very confusing because nobody knew who was on the lead lap and who wasn't. All the cars were pitting together. It was just a general confusion from what I could see. Did you see anything different there, Sidekick?
I, unfortunately, was like Mike, and I did not see it.
Oh.
I'm actually trying to remember why I did not watch it.
Well, I actually did not see that part of it. I saw the latter half of it, and I was watching it toward the end, and it was kind of comical because every driver they interviewed, every Fox person they had on, nobody seemed to really know what the hell was going on. It was one of those weird, scoring things that, you know, confused everybody.
Well, I do know part of the setup for the All-Star race this year was that the Drivers' Council representative had some say into how the rules for the race, for the All-Star race. And that representative had been Brad Keselowski.
Right. I found that very odd.
So he actually, a lot of the ideas for the race, scoring and stuff, were actually Brad's ideas. But it almost sounds like there was almost on track issues.
Yes.
And that's why NASCAR is saying, you know, hey, it's our bad because we didn't, you know, it's almost like they didn't officiate it correctly.
Yes. That's what the long and short of it seems is.
Yeah.
Nobody understood the calls.
That seems
odd
to me. I got to be honest with you. I had read that as well, Psychic, about the whole Keselowski influence. That almost seems wrong to me. Well, you got a current driver that's structuring a race? What?
Well, I think it's kind of neat. Where you're instead of NASCAR, you know, saying, "Hey, here's the rules." You know, they're kind of letting the drivers, you know, counsel or their representative. That's why I would say it was the drivers' counsel, but I guess their representative for this was Brad. You know, I guess they all talked amongst each other and they, you know, thought Brad had a cool idea, so he was going to be the guy that rep and, you know. But I do like the fact that, you know, because it's the All-Star race and it's not a points race, that they're saying, hey, you know, how do you guys want to, you know, yeah, we'll let you guys buy in on this and, you know, put some of your, you know, your ideas into this race. You know, it's your race. It's the All-Star race, you know?
Well, I hear you. I mean, you know.
So, and that's why when I heard about how bad it was, you know, my first thought was, okay, is it just because Brad's idea sucked or, you know, what exactly? And then I'm sitting there going, damn, I should have watched the race.
It was a pest. You know, it was a pesky product. That's all. That's the problem. That's what it was. That's what the problem was with it. There it is. I got it figured out.
See, I know you're making poking your fun at, you know,
yes, I am.
Ford,
yes, I am.
And stuff. Yeah, with your JGR man love over there. But
do I sense tension on the panel?
There's always tension on the panel between me and Mike. But of the drivers out there, you know, I think Brad is one of the smarter guys, straightforward guys that, you know, genuinely wants to improve the sport and probably has some good ideas from a driver's perspective. You know what I mean? Taking the particular hate aside from a if you look at drivers like Junior, I think would probably make a great in that same kind of fashion. You know, he probably has some great ideas towards racing and things to improve. Or I'd love to see Dale Jr.'s take on an all-star race. If Junior could sit there and make, okay, this is going to be the Dale Jr. All-Star race, and I'm going to make the rules this year.
I'll be honest with you. I think based on, and whether you like him or not, but just based on winnability, you'd have to put Jimmy Johnson in that category as well, wouldn't you?
I don't know if I would want Jimmy making the rules for the race. He doesn't come across.
You're worried about the canal factor?
Yeah, there you go.
They're cheating.
I don't know. There's just something about Jimmy Johnson where, yes, I know that he's won a ton of championships and a ton of races.
Exactly.
But I'm not taking anything away from his driving skill, but I think it's a perfect mesh between him and Chad Knaus. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that Jimmy's winning them championships on his own.
I don't have enough.
It's not purely him. I think Chad Knaus is actually the genius behind that race team.
Oh, all right, so help me
he
out.
Just
here
happens to, you know, he just happens to have Tom Brady driving his car. You know what I mean?
We
always make the Patriot connection between, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson. But I don't know if I would want Jimmy Johnson being a rep to say, oh, well, these are what the rules are going to be for this year's All-Star race.
Yeah, help me out with the perspective here for a moment with regard to Johnson, because as I point out, I've only been following, like I said, 5 years or a little bit more. I don't know. Johnson's been winning a long time. Has Knaus always been his crew chief?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Since he came up, yep.
Wow. Okay.
So I say it literally is like the NASCAR equivalent of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
You're darn right. That's an excellent.
You know what I mean? And that's why the comparison is so easy.
Yep.
Because it's here's this crew chief. Comes in with a rookie driver, and they just have that it factor together, and boom, dominance. Boom, confetti.
Yeah, boom, confetti. Exactly.
you know what I mean? So
I should get that sound drop.
But like you've seen Brady and Belichick sometimes not agree all the time.
Oh, you see that
the same thing between Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson, and Chad's not afraid to tell Jimmy, drive the damn car.
I love it. I love it when you hear it. We'll come back to stop your whining. We'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And that's what
makes Chad so great. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you're an automatic Hall of Fame driver. You know what I mean? Look, your job is to drive a damn car. Drive a damn car. Don't worry about the other stuff. We'll take care of that. We'll fix it. Just drive.
I think it's hysterical.
Because
what's interesting is when you hear that kind of stuff going on live on the track, and they'll actually play it. You'll hear the conversation between the drivers and the crew chief. It's almost as if. They're disrespecting him. They're completely disrespecting Jimmy Johnson. And yet, when you hear it coming from, say, somebody like Kyle Busch to his crew, they're actually sitting there leaning in going, did we get every word of that? Because this guy knows the car. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what you hear a lot of times about Kyle Busch, is that, hey, a lot of times when he's giving input to his crew, it is input. These guys rely on that sort of thing. Jimmy Johnson, he's just sitting there whining.
So I have to go back to Brad Keselowski for 1 second. Liz in the chat room says, no wonder it was stupid.
No wonder it was stupid. Okay, no wonder.
Brad Keselowski was influence on the All-Star race.
Oh, on the All-Star race. I got you. Liz is throwing around a little hate today, isn't she?
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, I love it. I love it when our listeners are bringing a little fire. I think that's awesome. That's very funny.
We're going to have to invite Liz on the couch.
Come in late, Alice.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, let's see.
Dr. Sidekick.
So, I'm waiting to see if there's a response from her. We've got Charlotte today, as we point out, Coca-Cola 600. Hopefully we're going to get it in, weather permitting, it would seem at this point. Obviously if it gets rained out completely, one of the things I want to bring up too, real quick, because we kind of talked about it at the top of the program, I think it would almost be better if it got rained out completely, as opposed to trying to do the shortened thing. Because, guys, I don't know if you remember, but it was just a couple of weeks ago where there was a lot of complaints about, I'm trying to remember which race it was, but there was threat that it was going to be rain shortened. And that was the race that Kyle Busch came out and said everybody was driving stupid.
That was Dega.
Was it Dega? Okay. I think it would almost be better if it got rained out completely, right? Than trying to get it in, in a shortened situation because of that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the rain shortened races either, and with this being a night race and the potential for it to go on forever and through the night, I would rather either see it not start and come up, be run in its entirety tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, with it being a national holiday tomorrow, it would work for it. Listen, it would work for all the fans, that's for sure. Anyhow, all right. So we take a look at the qualifying lineup for today's race. Trex has got the pole. There's our buddy Logano at number two. Stenhouse has got a three. JGR, Denny Hamlin up at number four. And there's our other pesky boy, Keselowski, in at number five. Biffle, six. Johnson, seven. Harvick, eight. Edwards, nine. Trevor Bayne, 10. Chase Elliott coming in at 12th. Any thoughts on what we've got here? Are we going to see somebody different win this thing today? Truex. Can we get Truex on the board? What do you think, guys?
Possibly. I don't know. It's races do tend to give you different winners. So something we got to keep an eye on today, that's for sure. Truex is probably due based on the other JGR cars all winning.
Absolutely. He'd be the last one, kind of, right?
Yep. Now that we have Kenseth in the fold.
Exactly. Without getting into picks, which we'll do here momentarily, a couple of minutes or so. Any thoughts, Sidekick, on the qualifying, the way we see it, or what we might expect out of here? Jimmy Johnson has won this thing seven times. I think he leads all. With the most wins at Charlotte. Now, you know what I didn't check? I should have checked to see who leads the most in the springtime, that in this 600. Because this 600 is a little bit of a different animal from when they run it again later on in the season, in the chase. This is a little bit different. That one in the chase, that's a night race too, isn't it? I think that's a night race as well.
Yeah, but I don't know off the top of my head.
This one is, this being the longest race, this one's a little different animal. So I should have checked to see who holds the record for the most wins in, you know, at the 600. But go ahead. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was going to say, you know, what's funny is you mentioned Jimmy Johnson winning here seven times. But if you look at the over the past six races that have been run at Charlotte, he's not in the top 10.
Yes, that's correct.
It's almost like he's hit or miss at this track.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the top 10, you've got Kevin Harvick, Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Newman, Jamie McMurray, Austin Dillon, and Martin Truex Jr. are tied, Brad Keselowski, and then Casey Kane.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of Johnson's wins here were earlier in his career. You got a good point. Yeah,
yeah, he's actually 19th. His average finishing position is 20.5.
Wow, is that right? And yet he's got seven wins.
That's his average finish for the last 3 years.
Oh, okay, all right, I got you. Well, okay.
So yes, you're right. So early on he was winning, but
yes, it was earlier in his career is when he was winning Charlotte. That's right.
Yeah.
So. We going to see a JGR today, Psychic?
You know, you could. You could see another, you know, another, what do you call it? Another JGR show. I mean, that seems to be the, you know.
The theme
yeah.
of the year.
So, you know, I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So. That, you know, here we go. Active racers, winners at Charlotte. You know, as you said, Jimmy Johnson, four. Jimmy Johnson at seven. Casey Kane has four wins at
Harvick
Charlotte.
Got three.
So, you know, as we were, you know, trashing Casey Kane a little bit earlier, you know, the Kanester.
One of them fairly recently, if I'm not mistaken. I think one's within the last 4 years. I think you just ran it down. You just read one off there, Psychic. Casey Kane, I think, has actually won at Charlotte here sometime in the last at least 3 or 4 years. Harvick's got three. Kenseth and McMurray both have two.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson's last win here was May of 2014.
Okay,
so last year it was last October it was Joey Logano. Last year it was Carl Edwards. October of 2014 was Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, May of 2014, and Brad Keselowski, October of 2013.
All right. Anything we should be checking for here, guys, with, your history of Charlotte, anything in particular that, is kind of common to this particular locale?
Actually, yes.
Go ahead.
500 miles. Because this is a 600-mile race.
Yep.
Like you said, this is the longest race we have on the circuit. So this is very physically demanding on the drivers because they're in the cars for so long. But once you hit that 500-mile mark, cars start braking.
Wow.
You start dropping engines and all sorts of stuff. Because we don't, this is the only race where we go over 500 miles. So a lot of time the cars aren't tested. So you'll see stuff once you hit that 500 mark and as you go from 500 to 600, you'll start seeing car failures, you know, engines dropping, trannies, you know. So, depending on how this plays out with the storm, you know, with the rain and everything, you know, that's just an added thing. Now, maybe if they're taking long periods off, maybe that'll help, you know, where they're not running a straight 600 miles. Yeah, or it could increase the problems, you know, because the car's sick, cool down, heat up, cool down, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes.
I agree with you. And like I said, I guess the thing that I'm coming away from here is that I'm really hoping we get this race in. And I hope we get it in its entirety. I hope we get it in tonight. I hope we get it in its entirety. If they had to run this tomorrow, this would become a day race, wouldn't it, guys?
Maybe. They could still run it at night. They have lights.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what they would.
It would
I think
seem
they
to
would
me,
probably
though,
prefer to run it during the day.
Yeah, it would seem to me probably based on schedule. You know, because of the fact we're going to be, you know, turning around and running on Sunday again next week up in Pocono. You probably want to run it, I would think, during the daytime. I think it would probably become a daytime race. And then that changes things around a little bit as well, which is interesting. Because
because you know. Well,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just about to say, you know, we're going to be talking here momentarily about fantasy selection and what have you. And one of the things that makes this one kind of dicey today is that, you know, we're not sure whether the race is going to be held or not. That's number one. Number two, track conditions could be, you know, that could come into play. It could be a shortened race. Or it might get postponed completely and become a day race tomorrow. And yet, we don't have – once your roster is set today, 6 o'clock green flag, that's it. You're locked, whether this thing gets delayed or not. So you can't go back in like later tonight, oh, the race is delayed, and change your roster. You know, so that makes this one a little dicey, right, Psychic?
Yep.
Go ahead. Anything else you wanted to throw out there?
I was going to say, and what's interesting is, you know, we're talking about Jimmy Johnson. You know, the worst starting position for the race winner is 37th, and that was Jimmy Johnson, and it was a rain-shortened race. It was only 414 miles.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, let's do this. Since we're just about there, we got about a little bit more than 5 minutes remaining in the program, and I just brought up fantasy anyhow. Well, we need to get Sidekick's fantasy selections in here. Let me just I didn't pull up the standings. Oh, all right. Anyhow, let's get your predictions, and I'll see if I can find where I have the standings for this week. Go ahead.
All righty. Let's see here. So I'm going to run. Whoops. Come on back here. There you go. I'm going to run Kevin Harvick, who we can stop talking about him going to Hendrick Motorsports. Back to Chevy because Stuart Haas is going to Ford next year because he just signed an extension with Stuart Haas.
That's right.
Kevin Harvick will, in fact, be in a Ford next year. Joey Logano, number 22. I'm going with Martin Truex Jr., number 78. And then my usual bottom feeders that get me in trouble, Matt DiBenedetto, 83, and Regan Smith, 7. I'm going with Kevin Harvick and Chevy. And for Eat My Dust, I'm going with Kevin Harvick.
Aha! Okay. Kind of housekeeping here. 2 weeks ago, Brandon, you got your second win in our fantasy league. And that shot you up to number two. Number two on the list.
I'm a solid number two.
yes, you are. Yes, you're very good. So that puts you in the second spot. Daytona Cementhead still up there at number one because of their 3 wins, but now you've got 2 yourself. So there's the 1 and 2 standings. Speed Demon number 3. Tim Wedlick's coming in at number 4. The fantasy team comes in at number 5. I'm in at number 6. Ooh, I've moved up nicely. Spring Rubber. Sidekick, number 7. So you got the 5 and 7. Texas 88 coming in at number 8. And then Big Spoon, Sammy, coming in at number 9 right now. That's where we are. I don't know if anybody saw it. Talking about Kenseth and your love for Kenseth, I just wanted to bring it up real quick. Announcement yesterday, Dollar General's dropping sponsorship.
Wow.
So, good. Listen to him. Good. Oh, you're wonderful. All right, so let's see. Sidekick on with Harvick for Eat My Dust. Oh, and in the Eat My Dust right now, Sidekick's at the top of the board with 339 points. Brandon, you're now in number two. With
solid
three,
number two.
Yep, yeah, there you are again, 322. Now, don't look, you don't have to go far, because Liz is coming right behind you at 321. So only 1 point differentiating third and the second spot. NASCAR John coming in at 310, and I'm in there at 289 at the bottom. All right, so Sidekick's got Harvick. I will tell you that NASCAR John is going with Harvick.
Jeez, John and I.
Loyal listener Liz coming in with Denny Hamlin. JGR driver, like that. Brandon, where are we going?
I'm going to be a bit of a homer this week and go with Dale Jr.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, he ran pretty well in the later stages of the All-Star race, and I liked what he had to say in his interview after. They've just been making good improvements, and he was really pumped up looking for the 600, forward to the 600. So I'm going to ride Dale, see how he does.
He's going to have to, well, you know,
man
if you do
crush.
Exactly. If you do well there, you'll probably get a lot of points in what do they call that, positioning, because he's coming
out
of the...
Yeah, unfortunately, I only have him on one of my two fantasy teams, so, you know, I don't really want to mess with the other one, so he's not on my main one.
He's starting 25th today. Oof. All right, well, we'll see how that goes, and, well, where am I going? Well, before I knew everybody was going to go with Harvick, I'm going with Harvick. So I have a funny feeling it's going to be Harvick's day. That's just my gut feeling on that one. And look, there are three out of five of us. That's exactly where we're going. Kevin Harvick. All right, hopefully we get a race in today. We know that we've got Indy race. In fact, that should be green flagging right now, if I'm not mistaken. So Indy 500 going on at this moment, if you want to catch that. ABC is covering it. Liz throwing out good lucks to Hinch today as well. As I pointed out, Hinchcliffe got the pole on that one today. So we've got some good racing going on right now over in Indianapolis. All right. I want to wish everybody a very, very wonderful holiday. Let's not forget what it's all about. In remembrance of all of those that have served our country. Remember that one, please, folks, as you're enjoying your barbecues and what have you for the next couple of days. Make sure you're back here with us, please, on Thursday night for our Frat House Sports Show. Number 247 coming to you at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can bet that it will be a hoot, and I will be back here with you as well next Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. In the meantime, boogity, 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 boys. Hey, let's hope that we go racing today. Hey, enjoy everything. Enjoy your holiday. Take care.